Would you turn with me, please, to Psalm 145 tonight? And I want to begin with you something that will take us up through June, Lord willing, on Don't Waste This Summer. Don't waste this summer. You know, summer's just around the corner, and summertime is a change of schedule for most. We send the kids home from school, those of us that are teachers, and then we switch gears and move into camp mode and T-ball World Series mode, and we're not having to be up here every night of the week, and there's this, you know, change of schedule, change of pace. And oftentimes, I think that summertime becomes more playtime and less focus on the Lord. And it shouldn't be that way, ever. Our time should always be focused upon the Lord, but I know how things are. I know how things are in my life. I can testify to that. But I want to kind of bring to your attention tonight some thoughts from Psalm 145 and the first seven verses as we begin a little series on Don't Waste This Summer, and specifically with our children and with our grandchildren. Mr. Woods and I talked back a couple of weeks ago before he left and about the time that he had with his granddaughters up in Greenville, or in Anderson, South Carolina, and how precious it was. He said, you know, I'm going to be 80 years old, and I don't have that many years left on this earth to spend with my granddaughters, so we determined that it wasn't just going to be playtime with Grandma and Grandpa, that it was going to be some learning times together around God's Word. He said, we had some precious times together. So we went outside together. We talked about the Lord's creation. We had Bible times together. And he said it was just a very, very special time that they really had not had up to this point. They're old enough now. They can follow along and listen and so forth. And I just thanked him as a dad to a grandfather, as a man who taught me growing up. I thanked him for thinking that way. And I said, you know, that's exactly what the Bible says in Psalm 145, and specifically verse 4, one of my favorite verses from the Psalms, one generation shall praise thy works to another. Now, by the way, that phrase is used in Psalm 78. It's used in other places in the Psalms in a little bit different wording, but the idea of one generation shall praise thy works, whose works? Who is the thy referring to? Obviously, the previous verses tell us it's the Lord. We'll pass that to the next generation. And what do they pass along? The praise of His works. What we've done tonight in our testimony time. What an opportunity to share these things with our young people and our children. And many times in the summertime as grandparents, we have opportunities to spend time with our grandchildren and with our children. And we have opportunities there to take moments out of the day and just focus them completely and totally on the Lord and His mighty works. Do you realize that that's missing today? It's missing in our churches. That emphasis is missing in the preaching of America. We have gotten so self-absorbed that all we think about is ourselves and we don't think about our Lord. We're going to spend all eternity with Him. And we have an opportunity to encourage our young people to start spending time with Him now. To learn to love Him now. To learn to spend time with Him now. Whenever they look up into a tree or they see a bird fly across the sky or they look down on the ground and they see something, that their hearts immediately turn to the creation of God and His mighty works and the things that He has established in His creation. And also, other areas, as we're going to see in our study. You know, as parents, we do many things for our children. We clothe them. We feed them in our house 15 times a day. Right? We make sure that they are properly educated. We nurture them. We do everything we can to provide for them, guide them, and prepare them because one day they're going to leave our house. I was thinking about Chris and Brenda. They went up for Nicole's graduation. What a milestone. Graduating with 1 year Bible certificate. But, you know, you think back. Whenever we went to the hospital to visit her and hold her when she was just a little baby. How the time has gone. I watched these young people that used to be little kids. And you pat them on the head. Now if you pat them on the head, I have to get on a stepladder to do some of them that have gotten so tall. But you know what? They're going to leave. And we want them to leave prepared. Not just prepared to live in this world, but to prepare them to live in the next world. Do you understand that? Preparing children. Dr. Congdon and I talked about this at length, about it's our privilege as preachers to prepare people not just to live in this world, but to live in the next. But you won't live in the next if you don't know the Lord Jesus now. And if we're not spending time with our children and we're not teaching them about the wonders and glories of our God, that they have a Maker that has claims upon their life, if we miss those opportunities and we waste time and we fritter it away on things that really, you know, they can look back and say, well, we had a lot of fun. But they missed God in all of that. People that have a lot of fun go to hell every day. Do you understand that? If all that kids get out of us is fun, we have failed them. I wish I could announce this on the rooftops. It's all right to have fun with kids. I enjoy my kids. We were out this afternoon throwing the ball around and having some fun together. That's great and wonderful. But if we don't bring them to God, and we don't see them saved, and we don't see them give them lives, then we have failed them. We have not taught them the true value. And that's the next world, where we're going to sing the praises of God for all eternity. The one who took care of us here will be the one we stand up there and sing to for all eternity and serve. And so, I want to emphasize some things here. Of all the important things that we do for our children and for our grandchildren, the most important is to instruct them in the glories of our God. Now, what all does that mean? Well, we're going to get into that a little bit. And we've talked about this in the past. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I want to tell you something. My experience as a teacher in a Christian school is that most of the minds of the young people are not on God. They're on this world. That's my experience. You try to bring up conversations and boy, whoop, they're off to something else. Things about the Lord, their minds are not geared toward God and thinking about the Lord. It's geared to this world. It's geared to the things of this world. It's geared to the materialism of this world. And that's all they have. And by the way, if they die in that state, that's all they will ever have had. Because they will have nothing in hell but time and torment and memory. That's it. Time, torment, and memory of wasted opportunities. So, I want us to read these first seven verses here, and then we're going to hone in a little bit on verse 4, and then we'll go to prayer time together. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now think about that verse. I will extol whom? Thee, O God, and then what are the next two words? My King. Is God your King tonight? Is He your King? What does that mean? My King, my monarch, the one from whom laws and commandments and promises and truth come from to me, not the other way around. Well, that's special to think about. I will extol Thee, O God, my King. Have you taken ownership of the notion that God is your King? There's a lot of argument back and forth this day about lordship salvation, and I don't believe in the concept of lordship that you have to recognize completely that He's Lord. I think that the God, when He saves you, will bring you to that place, that you realize that He's in charge. And I believe that a person that comes to the end of themselves realizes that the only one that can save them is God Almighty. So I think it all comes together. But this idea that you got to figure all that out first is foolish, because we're not capable many times. God saves us, He redeems us, and then He puts within us the Holy Spirit, and He teaches us about whom? God. And He becomes my King. I realize that. And so these truths are very important. I will bless thy name forever and ever. This is the beginning. When we sing tonight, it's the beginning of singing forever and ever. When we praise His holy name, that's the beginning of what we're going to do forever and ever. Now, I know that sounds boring to many people today. I was telling the kids in chapel yesterday, I said, you know what, it's very interesting to me how many times I hear out of the lips of students, school is boring, but I've yet to hear, lunchtime is so boring. I never have heard that. I've never heard a student say, breakfast is so boring. You know, every morning, it's so boring to have to get up and eat breakfast. No. They jump out of bed, they run in there, they get their breakfast food. At lunchtime, they trample each other trying to get into the lunchroom so they can be first in line to get their pepperoni pizza or a sandwich or something like that. Lunch isn't boring to them. Why? It's something they enjoy. But you know what? When it comes to praising the Lord, it should be something you enjoy. It shouldn't be boring. And if it is boring, something's wrong with your heart. Something is deeply wrong with a heart that doesn't love God who gave His Son to die on Calvary's tree. Something's wrong with a heart that can't have a voice of singing in a church service and sit there and watch the notes go by and everybody just stare around the room or whatever. You're as lost as you can be if that's the case. And you need to turn to God before it's too late, because in hell there won't be any singing. It'll just be moans and groans and screams for all eternity. And you'll have the memory of sitting in a church where you had the opportunity to turn to an almighty God and say, oh God, be merciful to me. How foolish to trade this world and what all it offers and try to keep that and give up what's permanent and what's lasting. That is so short-sighted, but that's the world we live in. It is short-sighted. It is short-term. It is instant gratification. That's what it's all about in this world. And God help our young people. God help our children if that's what they learn in our homes. That's what's emphasized. If that's what we talk about. It's all about this world. It's all about what we're going to do. It's all about this. It's all about that. And God never enters into the conversation except, let's go to church now. That's about as deep as many people get these days. Oh, it's time to go to church. And that's all they get, is what they get at church. Listen, it needs to be lived out. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Sounds like a life of praise and thanksgiving, does it not? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. As long as you live here upon this earth, you will never search out how great God is. I imagine the testimony of those who have lived the Christian life for many, many years would be, I've just scratched the surface. Just scratched the surface. I know I was saved in 1978 at the age of 14. In all the years, I'm still just scratching the surface of the unsearchable greatness of God. But that brings us to verse 4. There's a responsibility. Not only are we to praise the Lord and honor Him, which we're going to do forever and ever, but we are to share that praise with the next generation. We're not to keep it to ourselves. We're to praise Him. We must recount to our children the mighty deeds of our God and to show His glories to them. We need to teach them that they were created for a purpose, and that is to come into fellowship through Jesus Christ with their Creator and Savior in order to know God and His greatness. Life is not about self. It's not about self-gratification. It's not about play. It's not about just having as much fun as you can have. It's about learning to know God and to know His greatness and His power and His might and to know that fellowship, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That was Paul's cry as a believer. I want to know Him. If that drive is not in your heart, something is missing. Something is missing, and you are not complete. And I'll tell you this, you're not satisfied either. Those kind of people are always looking for grass somewhere else. It's got to be better than this. It will never be better if you're running from God, if you're running from Jesus Christ. In addition, we are told in verse 7 that we are to sing of His righteousness to the next generation. I wonder how many people sing to their children the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can fill the empty hearts of people and their greatest joy be Him. You know, it's an amazing thing. I walk out here at the ballpark and I see grandparents out here and they say, Todd, and they pull out their wallet. I got to show you my grandbaby. All right? And they pull it out and I've got my family, some of my family pictures in here. Some of them are getting kind of old. But they'll pull it out, you know, and that 16 pictures out there, and you're looking at them, and you say that, and all you can see is, here's another one of them coming along, you know. And, you know, they're just as proud as they can be of their kids, all right? But let me tell you something. That's wonderful to have that next generation. It's wonderful to be proud of them. All right? You can be proud of their physical prowess, just like Grandpa, you know, and just like Dad. But if you're not communicating to them the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they have nothing. They have nothing. I shared this on Sunday about the number of sports heroes that we read about and I grew up with. I used to watch the Miami Dolphins and the Cleveland Browns and the Dallas Cowboys. And their names, and I'm watching them in the newspaper, die one by one. Most of them in their 60s. They don't live very long. Those big, hulking football players of the past, dying of heart attacks, strokes, all kinds of things. What happened to all that physical strength? Gone. It's gone. They can't play a football game anymore. Some of them, their knees are so bad they can barely walk. Some of them are confined to wheelchairs. I think about some of the big names I saw the other day. Fran Tarkington, who was one of my quarterback heroes as a kid growing up, played for the Minnesota Vikings. There were some famous guys back then. Some of them were infamous because they weren't that good, and some of them lived wicked lives. But there were some that Fran Tarkington came to know the Lord Jesus Christ a number of years ago, and he has a very strong testimony and a very strong conservative man. But he said, you know what? My elbows and my shoulders are gone. That arm, that used to throw passes down to Lynn Swan. Was it Lynn Swan that was on the... Who was on the... he was on the Steelers, wasn't he? I forget all the different ones. Terry Bradshaw and Lynn Swan, I guess that's what it was. But old Fran Tarkington, you could see him do the loop. He'd back out and then he'd make a big loop over to the side and you'd see him throw that ball down to the other end. And now that strong arm that used to win football games and Super Bowls, can't do it anymore. It's gone. Now what's important? What's important? You know what he says? The most important thing that it was ever accomplished in my life was when Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. Super Bowl rings, all that, he said, that means nothing to me. That's all in the past. But what else is in the past is the blood of Jesus Christ has atoned for my sin. Now there's a man that got it. Even though he was in the world and he was part of the world, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and now he's got his priorities straight. Now he's looking to the Lord because all that stuff's gone. And by the way, young people, the strength and the abilities that you have right now will be gone someday. And the only thing you're going to have left is memory. You know? I remember this. I used to be able to run. I used to be able to jump. I used to be able to do this or that or the other, but is that going to mean anything? No. What's going to mean something is, do you know God through His Son, Jesus Christ? And so we're going to talk more about this. There are three areas that I'd like for you to think about in regard to your grandchildren and your children this summer, so we don't waste it, to focus on and to make some time purposeful so that we can communicate to our kids the greatness of God and His works. And so we'll do that, Lord willing, in the weeks ahead.